In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we come to the last Sunday of what we call ordinary time, following the great feast days of Christmas and the feast of Epiphany and the Sundays following. We come to the day, and then on Wednesday we enter the great door of Lent to the great fast days of the year. And this is the last Sunday, and always on this Sunday, the liturgical year, Mother Church gives us the story of the Transfiguration, for which this church was the first church in the Anglican world to be named. We have it twice a year. The liturgical year gives it on the last Sunday after the Feast of Epiphany and always on the feast day of August 6th, our Feast of Tyre. And the text of today's sermon will be the story of the Transfiguration, but may I give a small commercial using a very personal feeling about the importance of the Christian year? I've been a priest for 30-some years now, and only now have I come to an amazing appreciation for what the liturgical year is, with its seasons of Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, Pentecost. It's feast days, it's music, it's saints' days, it's colors, but it's more than tradition, more than beauty, more than ritual. The liturgical year is the Anglican tradition's gift to us to hold us accountable in our Christian growth in life to the balance of fast days and feast days. The liturgical year embodies the very words of the second chapter of Ecclesiastes. For everything has a season, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to laugh, a time to weep, a time to mourn, a time to dance. The Christian year tells us at some seasons to be pensive and sober and to think quietly. At other times it tells us to dance and have exuberant joy. And the balance gives us health physically, emotionally, spiritually. I know Christians set in some tradition that only honor the fast days. 365 days a year, they only concentrate on the total depravity of man, our need of repentance, where we've fallen short, and it leads to sickness and danger and illness and wrong. And on the other end of the spectrum, there are some Christian traditions that only celebrate the feast days, only the prosperity, gospel prosperity, only that which dances, and it's so shallow it crushes the minute the complexities of the world fall upon it. But the Anglican tradition holds us accountable to balance our life. And the promise is this, that through the long haul of time, feast days and fast days and fast days and feast days, as we go through the decades of our life, we grow slowly, like water flowing over rock through the centuries. It shapes us. We live in a time of real time, instant gratification of everything, but religion is only for the long time. And let us give thanks today for liturgical year that gives us today the gift of the story of the Transfiguration. Commercial over. The story of the Transfiguration is the story, of course, when Jesus, while the dark days are looming of his death, of his arrest, of his scourging of the pillar with the crown of thorns, although Matthew's gospel day was somewhat earlier in his ministry. But before the dark days, he takes his most trusted disciples, Peter, James, and John, upon a summit of a high mountain, which is never named, but Christian tradition gives it the name of Mount Tabor. And upon Mount Tabor, a miracle happens just for a moment. The veil is lifted, and Peter, James, and John see the divinity of Jesus, dazzling light, speaking to Moses and Elijah. And before they know it, it was over. And we'll never know what physically happened that day, but we do know this, that Peter, James, and John never forgot it. They never got over it. It changed them forever. In the epistle today, it was attributed to Peter as an old man. And what did it say? As an old man, he was saying, we were there. We were on the mountain. We heard the voice. We were there. They never forgot it. And what was the purpose of the Transfiguration for Peter, James, and John? I propose that one of the purposes was to prepare them for the dark days ahead. Maybe that it could nerve their arm so they might not take offense at the humiliation and the horror that they were about to see. to get them through. I share an illustration that I often share in the face of the story of the Transfiguration. I share it this time with personal love and great intimacy, because it's about a person that died only 2 months ago. My piano teacher growing up was Miss Rachel Mundine, and she just died after being 37 years the organist of her local Methodist church. Miss Rachel Mundine, I think I might be the only person in Christendom whose piano teacher was also his water ski teacher. She had a little boat called Yellowbird, and she taught me to water ski. Well, I could water ski better than I could play the piano. I was not very talented, but I wanted to learn. And I got very discouraged time and time again. And she did something that I'll never forget. She did it fairly often. I would leave her house somewhat downtrodden, and she said, "John, you have to come back. Come back. Give me the music." And she would sit down at the piano. She'd play the piece the way it was meant to be played, so I could hear it in all its beauty and its finished tones. And so when I went back home and tried to bang out the tune, at least I could remember how it was supposed to sound. It would get me through. It would nerve my arm to practice, so one day I could play it. And I think that's what the Transfiguration in some ways did for Peter, James, and John. It nerved their arms with a very dark day ahead. Because remember, it was before the resurrection. We have, in hindsight, the resurrection. They hadn't had that yet. But they had that moment of seeing Christ revealed. And were they perfect? No. Peter denied that he knew Jesus 3 times. At the time of the cross, only John stayed with Mary. They all fled, but they didn't stay fled. They stuck together. They came back. When Jesus appeared to them in his resurrected body, they were together. And I propose, at least in part, the cause of the miracle and the vision of the Transfiguration. It gave them vision that nerved their arm. What a gift to Peter, James, and John, and then the other disciples. So the point of the sermon, is this just the story for Peter, James, and John? No. The Transfiguration is for us too. Because brothers and sisters, every time we come to Mass, that is our hour of Mount Tabor. The Holy Eucharist is the sacrament of the Transfiguration. When we come to Mass every Sunday, we are on Mount Tabor for 1 hour. Okay, sometimes an hour and 20 minutes. But it is our Transfiguration moment, because the promise of the Eucharist is this, that when we come to Mass, that thin membrane between heaven and earth disappears. And for just a moment, we receive the sacrament. We receive the very presence of Jesus Christ in us, as promised in the upper room at that Last Supper, on that first Monday Thursday. And just like Peter, James, and John had to go down the mountain and face dark days, we leave a church every week. And the world is not all bright. 40,000 people dead of an earthquake. People facing war and gun violence and horror and oppression. And what are we to do? And sometimes we want to just cover our faces. Remind the old song I knew in the 70s. It said, "Oh Lord, you place me in this world of time and space and missiles hurled. With eyes have seen the gathering gloom, with ears have heard the sonic boom. Oh man, cry out for breathing room." But we're not hopeless. The disciples changed the world because they had the very presence of Jesus in them. Their arms were nerved. And after the resurrection, his very life was in them. And they faced that darkness, and that light always overcomes darkness. And they preached that there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. And we have the same ministry. We go to our hurting world after our moment at Mount Tabor, receiving the Eucharist. And we can be the hands and the feet and the voice and the pocketbook of our Lord and Savior to make a difference in a hurting world, to bring hope and light. And that is the promise of the story of the Transfiguration. So when next time we feel tired or apathetic, perhaps, to come to Mass, no matter what the spiritual condition is, remember the story of the Transfiguration. We need to be on Mount Tabor every week to face the world as ambassadors of the love of Jesus. Amen.